host back on the Boss Man Show. We got a brother covering the Hawks for SI, Pat Benson. Follow him on Twitter at Pat Benson Jr., giving you your Atlanta Hawks news unfiltered and straight to the point. No clickbait chasers. It's my man, Pat Benson. What's up, Pat?
Hey, man, I love the intro. Thank you so much for having me. I can't believe I'm finally on the show, so I appreciate it. And I'm a fan of what you do, and I'm just happy to be here.
Hey, brother, good to have you as well, brother. Well, Atlanta Hawks, man, are on a win. Hey, the Hawks been winning at home, of course, but last game against the Knicks, bogey, Bogdanovich goes down, Cam Reddish goes down with a wrist injury, and Hunter's already out. So all of that wing depth that the Hawks had now, Pat, is kind of getting ran through right now, brother.
Yeah, I know, man. It's not exactly the ideal start to the season in terms of the health of the team. And, you know, we came into the season with such high expectations. And right now we're one game above 500. And, you know, like you said, three key players are out, four if you count Okongwu. So not the ideal start, but it's a long season.
No doubt, man. And you know what's crazy about it is that now Kevin Herter moves up in the rotation now. Now we probably see more of Solomon Hill now and TLC. So now Schlenk keeping TLC over Oka for now is paying off dividends now already.
Makes sense. Like, I was so goofy. I posted this article like the day near the end of training camp. I said the final spot officially belongs to Okafor. You know, you look and we just have way too many wings. There's just no playing time for TLC. And the next day, Okafor got cut. And that I was like, well, that made me look like a knucklehead. But Travis Schlenk, he knew what he was doing. You know, you need those players who are ultra flexible, guard multiple positions, and TLC is a consummate professional veteran. So he knew what he was doing. That was definitely the right call. And we need that wing depth now. You know, some of the early reports are pretty encouraging for Bogey and Cam Reddish. But the next couple of weeks will be tough.
Yes, especially with a trip to Indiana. Seeing ALP again, assistant coach Rick Carlisle now. Also, Philadelphia, you don't know what you would get from them on Friday night. Then Charlotte, tough team. You know, played the Hawks very well on the 20th there, say from Arena there. So then Minnesota, then Brooklyn on the 10th. So the schedule helps to a degree, Pat, because their off day is built in. That gives them time to rest and recover. Same time, trying to reintegrate guys back into the rotation. When we've already had a glut to begin with, guys wanting to play, and then they're not playing anymore, could cause some confusion for a few games there.
Yeah, I don't know how smooth the transition will be. You know, TLC went from several DNP coaches' decisions, and now he's playing close to 13 minutes per game. You know, Solomon Hill, he's getting more playing time. They just called up Skylar Mays from the College Park Skyhawks. So I don't know how smooth the transition will be. There might be some rust on some of these guys because they've been, you know, riding the pine for a while. But, you know, like I said, they're professionals. I really am confident that they'll figure it out. We just got to tread water right now during these next few weeks. Like you said, luckily we have some home games coming up. And it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I'm interested to see how the coaching staff is, like you said, able to integrate these players into the rotation. And it'll be exciting, no doubt about it.
I need to see more of JC being a playmaker now.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see more sets ran for him and his usage rate increase because every time he touches the ball, something good happens. Either he scores or he finds the right man and he either gets an assist or gets it to where it needs to be. And I'd like to see more of the offense run through Collins. I agree with that. I don't know why he doesn't get more touches.
Because I listened to Nate talk and Trey talk about how they don't run plays for JC, which they should. You know, you're paying him 125 now over 5 years.
Yeah, and they're always bragging on him. Like, you know, you hear in the post-game press conferences, they're always bragging on him. And we just got to show him some love, get the ball in his hands a little bit more. And, you know, I don't think, you know, anything's going to go wrong with it. I trust him. I think he's really good at making the right reads and making the right moves. And he's improved so much year after year. I think it's time to feed him. And like you said, we just signed him to a massive new contract. So it's time to put the ball in his hands right now and help hopefully, you know, make up for some of that lost production, which we have.
Yes. And you know what? I still see, Pat, this is me. This is the GM in me. And the okay. front office guy and me, like, we gotta pay DeAndre Hunter for sure.
Yeah.
And my question is now, Cam Reddish. Mm-hmm. So I know he wants to do more than what he's doing. And he wants and do you pay a guy to be a offensive contributor who you know wants to be a starter and can feel like he can do more? So I don't know, fans won't like when I say this, Pat, but I think Cam Reddish will be traded eventually because you can't pay everybody. And we've already gave JC a great deal for him. Trey's on a max deal. Now, Gallo's only guaranteed $5 billion next year. True. That does help. Bogey is signed up for two more years, but one's a player option. So you could, and also Onyeka Okongwu needs to be paid eventually. So this is just the GM to like looking down the road, thinking about, hey, we got all these guys now. Try to strike this year while you got all this talent because the cap is the cap.
Exactly.
I don't see Tony Wrestler being in the tax forever for a team that's not winning a title.
No, that's a really good point. Things are about to get really tight financially in the next couple of years. And I hope Cam isn't the one that's traded. I hope none of these guys are traded. I love them. But, you know, Danilo Gallinari, his contract's going to look really good. He's going to be getting – the Hawks will be getting a lot of phone calls come February or March asking about Gallo. And he's going to be a really good trade piece if that is the route they want to go. Like you said, hopefully they're able to make it work with both DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish. But – people are already, you know, trying to speculate as to, you know, which one we keep, which one we let go. And, you know, Cam might want a bigger role. You know, he's a starter. You know, he's a number two, number three options on most teams, but you know, he's coming off the bench for us and he may want a bigger role. I don't know.
Yeah, man. So I just worry about that with him because I know, you know, he thinks he's a player to be starting. You know what? I want to see more Sharif Cooper being Trae Young's backup.
Yeah.
With respect to Lou Will and DeLon Wright, you all only here for one more year. You know? So I want to see more of my man, Sharif Cooper from Auburn, come up from the Skyhawks and play more behind Trae Young. I think him and Trae Young have similar skill sets, right? Mm-hmm. Sharif's getting better defensively as well. So I feel like Sharif Cooper's pace and pushing the ball, his just sheer dog in him, his grind in him, could be great for Trae, back to get Trae Young more rest. He doesn't burn out the fourth quarter of games and get tired.
Yeah, I mean, Sharif looked so good during the preseason. I mean, and Coach McMillan bragged on him after each game, and we just haven't seen much of Sharif or Jalen Johnson so far this season. And now would be the opportunity. Maybe we'll see a little bit more out of both of them here over the next couple weeks due to all these injuries, but I don't know. You know, I guess either Coach McMillan feels they're not ready, or maybe he's one of these more old school coaches who says, you know, you'll get your time eventually. It's when now we got to go with the veterans. And, you know, he's in there practice. He and his coaching staff are in there practice every day. I'm sure if they thought Sharif gave him the best option, they would go with it. So he'll definitely get his time, but I don't know how much he's going to get this year.
No doubt. You know what, man? Coach McMillan's done a change. I remember he was in Seattle, Portland, Indiana. This is when the offense he was running. So let's talk about how Coach McMillan has reinvented himself in his fourth time to be head coach, because some coaches don't ever change. Like, let's be honest. Tom Thibodeau, who the Knicks, they run what they run. The Bucks, we have Bud in Atlanta. Bud runs what Bud runs.
Yeah.
And Doc Rivers runs what – it's just the system. They don't make adjustments. But see, Coach McMillan actually, you know, changed what he's been in his previous stops here at the Hawks, man. It's been amazing to see how a guy can look at himself, self-scout himself, and say, hey, let me be better going forward.
you know, that is a great quality. You know, a lot of coaches do get stuck in their way. Everybody in every profession gets stuck in their ways. And that's really cool to see a coach, you know, be open to self-reflection or, you know, or whatever. You know, his last stop at Indiana, you know, was crazy. I was just working on the preview for the Pacers game on Wednesday, and I was doing some research. I forgot that they extended his contract in August, and then 2 weeks later they fired him because of a, you know, a bad playoff series in the bubble. And maybe he had some time to do some reflection, and, you know, he served as an assistant coach under LP for a little while. But yeah, like you said, he's open to change, and you got to love that. And that's why he's been in the league so long and he's so well respected.
And watching the warm-ups out, we have Nick Vanessa on staff, his son Jamil on staff with, you know, also out there with Chris Jent, who's been around forever.
That's right.
Remember, he was the interim coach of the Orlando Magic at one time. Chris Jent.
So I remember that's a throwback.
Back in that day, when he was the coach of the Magic for a few games, the year that but Tracy McGrady got injured. Mm-hmm. And McGrady was like, I'm out of here, but they made Jent the interim head coach.
So man, I completely forgot that. That just burned my mind. That is a throwback.
Oh, yes. So,
man, he has been around a while.
Yeah, so watching him pregame work with the guys, man, his guys, he works with like Cam Reddish and those guys, mm-hmm. how he just really attentive with the guys. He gives the guys really good feedback pregame. So fans, if you get the chance to come to pregame and watch the coaches out there with the guys before the game, you'll see what I'm talking about, how these guys really help these assistant coaches, really help these young men. Having a Van Exel on staff, which helped Trey Young and Skylar Mays, these guards, and Chris Jen played at Ohio State all those years ago, man. So, it's going to tell Nate has pretty darn good, if you ask me.
Yeah, no doubt. We're in a good position to succeed. Front office, coaching staff, roster, I definitely feel good about it. And like you said, those pregame warmups are always so telling. You know, you can read the body language of the players and see how they're reacting. And it seems like it's always positive. And they're always open to coaching and receptive, and you know, you listen with your eyes, and these players look at the coaches in the eyes when they're listening to them, and you know, it leaves you with a good feeling about this team.
Most definitely, man, because you know, I've seen the Hawks, the good, bad, and ugly of the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
So seeing the Hawks be good again is very refreshing, because I remember days pre Mike Woodson. Now, I love Lon Kruger, Terry Stotts, and those guys, but it was rough.
Yeah, man, those were rough. I thought you were just talking about, like, the Chandler Parsons era, but no, you're going way back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm old school Hawks. I was at the Omni, man, when
it
was up on the Bulls 2-1, and Jordan took right from the Hawks.
Oh, man.
When Marv Albert and NBC was at – they basically played the games back-to-back, 3 and 4, back-to-back. Yeah. I remember that when I was younger. Yeah. At the Omni.
Man, that was a painful series. So you have been through it. So I'll be honest, I'm a Lakers fan. You know, I got the Dodgers hat on right now. So for me, rough spells like 2 seasons, and then some superstar will move in and bail us out, and we're good. But man, Hawks fans, I've been through it.
I remember going to games in the Georgia Dome. It was Bullion Safe Arena.
Oh, wow.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Games at Georgia Tech and the Georgia Dome.
Now, when the Bulls, like during the last dance, the Bulls came in, they played that one. Was that in the Georgia Dome?
Yes, Georgia Dome, yes. Yeah, the bigger name teams were Georgia Dome.
Man.
Normal, just the random Sacramento Kings,
yeah.
Georgia Tech.
Man, that's crazy. Yeah, they'd never do that nowadays.
Nah. See, now the thing is, we'll retrofit the arena during the offseason now.
Yeah.
Rather than tear it down and displace you for however many years, then once we'll do it in the offseason, we'll do it all offseason while we, so it's not, see, those missing, that'd be out of the arena for the whole year. So, yeah.
There's smarter ways to do it, and there's smarter ways to do it. And now that they've recently fixed up State Farm, they did that renovation a couple of years ago, we're going to be there for, you know, the foreseeable future.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah, because I remember the old Omni. I remember last game I was at, Allen Iverson played the last game there.
Really?
97, I remember.
Oh, man. Do I want to know who won?
They did.
Yeah.
The Hawks won that game. The Hawks won because the Hawks were good back then, remember? They was at Mutombo, Blaylock, Steve Smith, Leitner, Lenny Wilkins. They was good then.
Yeah.
It was like, it was that post Mutombo era that was kind of tough till you got to the Mike Woodson era. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then Larry Drew to Bud, then the tanking to LP to now. So my Hawks,
like you said.
So my Hawks ism goes from Lenny Wilkins to now.
Dang. Yeah. So as my fandom as a Laker, it goes from Kobe and Shaq through LBJ and AD with a tiny little Nick Young, Swaggy P era for a couple of years. That was rough. And, you know, a little, I guess, you know, the Smush Parker era was tough, but I don't know. I'm spoiled as a sports fan.
Yes, I remember my old. So I'm loving the city of different jerseys because it takes me back to my childhood with the old school, the flying, the full Hawk on the jersey when I play NBA Live 97 and stuff like that. On my Sega Genesis. So yes, kids, Sega Genesis was a real thing back in my youth. It was a real thing. The Game Boy was a real thing back then.
Yeah, and I thought it was bold that they went with that yellow, too, because before this, you know, I thought it was one of the ugliest jerseys of all time, that Atlanta, you know, alternate yellow jersey. I forget what year. It was like maybe 06, 07. You would know better than I was, you know, when they had the alternate yellow with the red Atlanta over the top. I forget what year it was. But for them to bring back the yellow for this year's City Edition, that was a bold choice and looks good, I think.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, you know, the Hawks have some jerseys now, you know. My favorite jerseys are the old schools when I was younger. Of course, I'm kind of biased to those jerseys. It's really, my favorite one is the Don Monique one with the Hawk kind of slanted across. That's my favorite one, of course.
Classic.
Then this the Mutombo Hawks jersey.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't a fan of that whole electric boat, whatever that crap was we had.
You didn't like that?
No.
Oh, man.
I wasn't a fan of that version of the Hawks jerseys. No, I was not a fan of that. Now, the Peachtree edition was good. MLK edition is good. The 404s are good.
Yeah.
But, and you know, I'm kind of, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the Al Horford jerseys, but.
Me neither.
They remind me of when the Hawks got back to being decent again.
True. So, yeah, you have that. But, yeah, I don't like the Navy. I feel like the Hawks need to be red and black, not red and Navy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of it either. As I said, my favorites were these are growing on me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a fan of them at first, but they're growing on me. Mm-hmm. But they can't beat my favorites from when I was a kid.
No, nothing's as cool as when you're a kid. Like, that's whether it's the music or the TV shows or whatever. Like, that's always going to be prime. But what about like the throwback powder blues? I think it was for St. Louis.
Yes,
and then
Lou Hudson, Maravich days.
You're right. Yeah, and then there's like the blue and green Pistol Pete.
Yes,
you know,
those are cool to me, but I don't. I guess I identify with what I was first. The Dominiques and I call the Dominique and John Conkax and the Czar.
Yeah,
and Hubie Brown.
yeah, that was kind of I feel you. But no, I like the bolt yellow. I like in like the little triangles. I always thought that was cool. And I really liked it when they wore the mismatched color. It was like red bottom for black.
That made it better. You know what I liked was the ATL. I like the ATL.
That was cool.
The ATL one was, that's what I could do the best with ATL, because I'll have the ATL hat of that set. But just the whole, I remember during the playoff run, the arena had all them shirts. And I'm like, oh my God, this highlighter in my eye blinding me.
Yeah, they had those bolt or high energy nights, or
yes,
I forgot what it was, but yeah, no, I like Dennis Schroeder, those are fun times,
yeah. And I remember those post game concerts with 2 Chainz, and
yeah,
so we see when you get good, those things go away,
yeah, you don't really need them as much anymore,
yeah, but I do miss them. I miss those free concerts post game and halftime.
True.
Even though we're good, let's go back to them, please.
True. Wasn't the 2 Chainz concert, wasn't that like super awkward, or am I imagining that? Like, well, it was like kind of like wasn't well attended and it's quiet.
Well, I was on the floor. I was vibrating the music, bro. I was
were doing your thing.
I was on the floor. I was in every song. It was when Good Drink. Good Drink was his main. He was Good Drink, and that's a vibe. I remember him doing those songs. I'm different. And Steve Holman and 2 Chainz are friends.
Really?
What an odd friendship.
Like,
Steve Holman and 2 Chainz are friends.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
Steve's a cool guy, though. You know, I get it.
Yes. That's the odd couple that 2 Chainz and Steve Cole hoping of friends.
Dang, that's funny. I love Steve. He's cool. And obviously Dominique's cool, but Bob Rathbun, he cracks me up. He's the funniest guy in the world.
Yes, he is. How you doing? Good to see you.
Yeah, man. He's funny in person. He's funny on TV. Like, you got to be on your toes around him. He's cracks me up.
Hey, Pat, how about the side there, Pat? They got her done. he always does that there with his hand. You got her done.
Yeah, man. He is somebody who needs to get like the Chick Hearn treatment and get his jersey up in the rafters. Like, I know he doesn't have a number, but he needs the microphone like Chick Hearn up in the rafters. We need to give him his flowers.
No doubt. Yeah, Bob is a cool guy. The Hawks is rare that the broadcast team doesn't change.
All these NBA teams changes. I was listening to I saw something on Twitter. It was an old video from like 25 years ago or so, and you could still hear Dominique, you know, calling the game. It was funny.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Man, well, Pat, man, it's fun to chat up with you, brother. I know you're rocking your LA-ism, man. I get you, bro. But the Braves won, brother. The Braves won. Dave Roberts can get it done for you, brother.
Hey, man, I just got to tip my hat, man. The Braves were amazing this year. Our payroll was much bigger, and you know, y'all did steal Jock Peters. I mean, I know Jock Peterson made a quick pit stop. I think it was in Chicago. But maybe if we had Jocktober this year, maybe things would be different. But I can't cry. The Braves were the better team, and they're super likable. And, you know, I got nothing but respect for the Braves.
How about them bullpen game day, Roberts? And, man, all the analytics crap is not working for you, brother. I agree. Just play the game of baseball. The Rays, too. Analytics stuff is annoying.
I agree, man. Don't try to get too cute. Just throw out your pitcher and, you know, don't worry so much about the numbers. You know, trust your gut.
Exactly. I remember watching Bobby Cox on TBS, people. The Superstation. TBS. The Fresh Prince, Pat. It's 7:35 the Braves game. The Fresh Prince goes off.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love TBS. And, I don't know. I don't remember Powder Blue, Dale Murphy Braves, but Chipper Jones, Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, those are my guys. So yes. I got nothing but respect for the Braves. They're not my favorite team, but I got respect for them.
I hear that. Well, brother, we'll have a show again real soon. And I'll see you at the arena, my guy. Be safe. Yeah. Be safe, brother. Be safe, brother. I'll see you soon, man.
Yeah, man. I'll see you soon. Thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate it. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, brother. You too, man.
Oh, you too. See you.
All right.